And so I have three scriptures I want to read from Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 22, and Matthew chapter 25. And I pray that the Lord would help me in preaching this message, because I do have a burden for people. I'm very, very thankful to hear about the revival with souls being saved and people being baptized in water. That's a tremendous thing. And I would like the Lord to help us here on this first night. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, I'll be reading there. And it says here, and if you would stand for the reading of God's word, and it says, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then in Matthew 22 and verse 11, I'll be going to there, and then Matthew 25. Matthew 22 and 11, it says, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Matthew 25 and verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent," verse 24, "came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath, it shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Would you stretch your hand this way and ask God to help me preach here tonight? Heavenly Father, I need you so desperately. And I pray for this congregation that you would please move in a powerful and glorious way, that the light of God's gospel would go forth, and that there would be a depth of sincerity and burden and blessing to come to this people. Lord Jesus, you know how much I need you, and I pray that you'd awaken everyone here, and I pray that you would please move upon us, that I might preach the word of God with power in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I can't say that I want to preach. It's like I have to preach on the subject of outer darkness. And in each of these passages of Scripture, there were several different privileged people. But each of them ended with a punishment in outer darkness. And in my spirit and soul today, as I prayed and went over, it seemed as though I kept coming back to this deep and heavy message in my spirit. And again, I come to you here not neglecting God's word. God's word is true. I exalt God's word. But there are some subjects that are much more heavy to preach than there are others. And here I come to you with a heavy heart in my spirit. Because I look at this passage of Scripture, and each of these individuals had a certain privilege about them. And then they all failed in some manner. They were all punished in some manner. And I'll tell you, we need to learn from these failures of others. I had a man come in when I was in Bible school, and he said, how many would say that a wise man learns from his mistakes? And we all said, yes. He said, that's not true. A wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes and doesn't do them. And so whether someone is lost here tonight, or possibly maybe someone's on the edge, being tempted to go astray, or in some manner, the old life is starting to look a little bit more bright. It's my heart's desire that we would learn from the mistakes of these and completely avoid eternal outer darkness. Could we look at the privilege of each of these people? In the first situation, Jesus Christ speaks of the privilege of the Jewish people. They were chosen of God, a special set apart group of people. They had a wonderful history. Miracles had taken place. God had judged the most powerful nation in the world, Egypt at that time, for their freedom and liberty. They had customs, and they had things that were not just handed down from forefathers to forefathers, but from God to their forefathers. And they had Passover feast and different types of sacrifices. They had a wonderful history in their past. They had prophets like Elijah and Elisha and Moses, the lawgiver, and Joshua, the great leader. They had a multitude of stories from David and Goliath, amen, to Daniel in the lion's den or den of lions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the miracles that went with these things. They were a privileged people. Of all the people in the world, God had communicated His word especially to them and through them. And we have the written word of God of the Old Testament that was delivered. In fact, it was through them that the promise was given that the Savior of the world would come and appear and deliver all mankind from their wickedness. And yes, indeed, we know that to be true. Of all the people that Jesus could have come to first, Jesus came to the nation of Israel. What a great privilege. What a great responsibility. Then think of the privilege of the unworthy guest. He had an invitation to a king's feast. He had an invitation like nobody else. He could have went and enjoyed the great blessings of that feast. In fact, just like it was back in those days, the king would provide a special garment, a robe that could be worn that was up to this special feast. Amen. He could bring his own clothes to a certain extent, but when he came into the feast, the king not only provided the food and the festivities, he provided a robe that was exactly what was perfect for that particular time of festivities. He was given so much. He was given an invitation. he was actually going to be in the same place where the king was. The king's presence was there. The king's invitation was there. The king's feast was there. The king's robe was there. It was all provided for this man. What a privilege. What a tremendous privilege. And then let's look at this unworthy servant. He had been given a talent to serve his king. Now, I don't know exactly what this talent was worth. I have read that it was 120 pounds of gold. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty valuable piece of gold. Just a few pounds of gold could make you pretty rich. He was given quite an expensive investment of this master. He was given a talent of gold. Amen. He had the example of other servants who took what they had received, invested it, and made money on it, and was diligent working because they knew that their master would come back again. He had ample opportunity to make good. Why, if he just put it with the exchangers and they got a little interest on this, he'd have more than what he was given in the beginning. And I'll tell you, he was a privileged man. Amen. To have been invested, his master must have thought a lot of him to give him this talent. Amen. And to put him with these other men that were so worthy to be given such a great responsibility. I want to ask us as a church, are we not privileged people? Amen. Do we not have a wonderful history that starts at an empty tomb and goes to the upper room in the day of Pentecost, and we have a history of miracles and healings and deliverances and salvations? And I'll just tell you, we not only have a Bible full of miracles, amen, but if you're like my church, you not only have a Bible full of miracles, you got a congregation full of miracles. Amen. We've got people that was healed of holes in their hearts, diabetes and blood pressure, going to our church. Amen. You may come to our church and we may all look like we've all been Christians all our lives. But if you looked around, you'd see people that have been drug addicts, delivered from addictions to methamphetamines for 20 years. You'd see alcoholics that's been set free. They look like real good church people, but I'm just going to tell you the testimony is there that they wasn't always in church, but the grace of God changed their lives. Hallelujah. And I'm sure this church is just like all churches. We've got godly people. Listen, I requested prayer for a lady in our church that's very sick tonight, but she is a mighty prayer warrior. She has to be one of the prayingest people in the world, because you couldn't pray much more than she prays without getting some sleep or eating every once in a while. And oh, how we need her to stay around and keep on praying. I had a deacon in my church, amen, that prayed 3 hours a day. That's the least he would pray for over 60 years. And many days he prayed all day long. He prayed an hour in the morning, pray an hour around noon, and pray an hour before he went to bed. Amen. And I'm telling you, we've had some mighty examples of great people of God in our church. And I know you, listen, I mentioned people in my church, but y'all are thinking of people that's sitting around you right now. Amen. Our young people cannot say they have not seen and been privileged to be with some of the most amazing godly people and godly examples. I'm telling you the truth. Brother and Sister Prescott are great examples. Brother and Sister Savage, and I could go on and on here. What amazing examples God has blessed us with right here. Of how to live a holy life, of how to be dedicated, of how to raise children in the house of God, of how to worship the Lord and pray and get full of the Spirit of God. What examples? And I'll tell you what, we've been given a lot of opportunities, haven't we? We've been given opportunities to move up. We've been given opportunities to pray. We've been given opportunities to live that victorious life just like other people. But isn't it sad for all the privilege that people have been given? Sometimes people fail. The Jewish people failed. They failed, my friend, at this moment. I'm not saying all of them did, but I'm telling you, the Jewish nation as a whole failed at this time. No matter how privileged they were, they took their privilege for granted. They took it for granted. John the Baptist said, hey, listen, don't just talk about how you're the seed of Abraham. Don't think about that. Amen. There's some repenting that you need to do. Amen. Right now in your life. They were proud of their history. And I'm glad that they had a history. But I'm telling you, just being proud of it doesn't change your life. They had God's word, but they did not obey it. What an amazing indictment Jesus gave over and over and over again to many of these people who had the first five books of the Bible memorized. And they would bring up something and he would say, have you never read? I tell you, you could preach a whole series of messages on the times Jesus said something like, have you never read? And there's people that go to church and they read it, but it don't ever change their lives. They can quote from the promise book. Remember Leonard Ravenhill said, you want to claim a promise, claim this one. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now listen, I love all the other promises as well. But the same God that said that is as truthful on all of his other promises. And we got to take his word very seriously. Amen. Let's look at this unworthy guest. He failed. Amen. He came to the party his own way. He came to the party in his own manner. He ignored the other servants. He wasted his opportunity. Amen. And remember that unworthy guest that dressed in his own manner and did not respect the wishes of the king. And I'll tell you, that unworthy servant took that talent and did not appreciate that gift. He ignored the other servants. He did not take advantage of the opportunities. And though we look at these and say how sad it is, my friend, there's people that come to church real regular and they have the same type of failure in their own lives. I could not lump all together the church as a whole, for there are many faithful people, yet there are those that live as though they have nothing to aspire to. There's no higher thing in their life. It's almost as if they think they live in the most difficult time that they've ever lived to serve God. Let me tell you something. There's some people in Muslim countries that risk their lives to go to church. Amen. Amen. I've had baptismal services and I said, listen, amen, I didn't feel threatened when I came into this place to baptize people But do you know there's been places where folks were being baptized and Muslims rushed in on them and slew them because of that? And I tell you right now, amen, we have had blessing after blessing heaped upon us, freedoms and liberties that other generations just long for. Amen. And as much as I realize the American culture is going against the church, amen, and there's more and more persecution, I also realize that we have not taken advantage of the great blessings of the Lord. Amen. Many ignore the testimonies of those who overcome much greater trials than they ever thought about. Many do not humble themselves before the Lord, but live in a very selfish manner. Oh, God, help me. Many do not pay attention to God's word, nor read it, even though people had to die for this to be in our hands here. Amen. We've got privilege after privilege. We can go to church. We can shout. We can witness. We've got God's word all over our house. But my question is, do we realize how privileged we are to be able to have a convention and a camp meeting and pray around the altar and worship the Lord? Oh, many live in a privileged church age right here in America, and yet act as though they're deprived of the best things. If they'd only lived in a different time, back when maybe Charles Finney preached, or back during the healing and miracle crusades of the 50s. Amen. If some other preacher, some other time, if they could have just been born when Whitfield was preaching, or Wesley. Amen. Oh. But I say to you, if you will not hear Bill Prescott and Brother Meekum and Brother Savage, amen, you would not hear, amen, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Just as Jesus told that one man, he said, amen, they should hear Moses and the prophets. And if they won't hear him, they won't hear them, then they would not listen, though Lazarus raised from the dead. I'll tell you, God's word is still God's word. Amen. The church is still the church. And God's given us a privilege right now to have revival. Amen. To have holiness, to live for God, to be filled with the Spirit. He's given it to us right now. Amen. God's given you what you need in your time to overcome whatever temptation you have. You say, Brother Lloyd, I would get saved, but I just don't think I can live it. Nobody that's living it ever thought they could live it. They had to trust that Jesus did the complete work. What you're saying there sounds like you're doubting yourself, but really you're doubting God. You got to believe God. Do you believe God has the perfect plan for salvation? Do you believe that God has the perfect power, amen, for sanctifying lives and setting them apart from this old fleshly world to live a holy life? Do you believe there's more power in the blood of Jesus Christ than there's ever been in the world, the flesh, or the devil? Amen. I'm just going to tell you right now, if there is more power, and you know there is, amen, you're privileged here tonight to have a church service where you can pray through and let the power of the blood of Jesus wash you, cleanse you, amen, and do a deep cleaning, sanctifying power, purging of your spirit and soul, and make you a new man, new woman. Oh, glory. God, help me here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're privileged. We're privileged. Oh, yes. Amen. Back just a little while ago, had a man come to our church named Mickey Carper. Mickey Carper drank 30 beers a day. That's what he did normally. Amen. I had him on my heart ever since I got there to Fairland. I call him up sometimes, and they always told me, said, "It's amazing, Brother Lloyd, you'll call me up and tell me you got a burden on my heart, something's happening." And I called him up. I was on vacation up in New York, looking at the Niagara Falls and so on that up there. And I got a burden on my heart for him that morning. And so I called Mickey Carper, Brother Eddie. I called him and said, "The Lord's burdened me about you, and I'm praying for you today." And he always was nice and appreciative. Amen. And I didn't know till a long time later that either that day or the day after that, he's driving down a road and a great big tree fell down and crushed his car while he was driving down the road. And he came out. It knocked him out there for a while, but he came out safe, didn't have to go to the hospital or anything. And he said, I knew it's called Brother Lloyd. Hey, man was praying for me. I was okay. Well, he promised a sister in our church at her 80th birthday party he'll come to church with her if she made it to 90. Well, God kept him and her both alive till her 90th birthday. He came with his wife and son, and he said, "Now listen, just as soon as the preacher quits preaching, let's get out of there. Let's leave." He was on the end. His wife and son was there beside him. Amen. And they all said later, said, "We was ready to go out just as soon as the preacher, you, me, quit preaching." Amen. But all of a sudden, Mickey got to holding on to the pew and started shaking. And they said, "I don't know what's wrong. Mickey ain't leaving." I'll tell you why, because the Holy Ghost had a hold of his soul. Hallelujah. He was privileged to feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost while the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was being preached. Amen. He got to shaking, and then he got to praying and to crying, and he raised his hands and worshiped the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you, he got saved, quit his drinking, but he didn't know that he had cirrhosis and cancer. Amen. Found that out later, and he prayed in November and died in September. But I'm going to tell you, he let every one of his old friends know that the gospel changed his life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, if you're here today and you're not saved, you are privileged to hear, amen, the message of a life-changing gospel. Amen. It's a treasure beyond treasures. It's a talent that's worth more than I could describe. Amen. I'll tell you, it's been placed right there in your hands. What are you going to do with it? You got the possibility of eternal life, or you got the possibility of failing like these other people did. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. Can I tell you, there was punishment. The hypocrisy of the Jews was exposed. Their reputation was destroyed, and they were cast into outer darkness. Now, light signifies God's presence, and darkness signifies his absence. Listen, I know this is a wicked and horrible world, but God's still here. Amen. And his mercy and grace is still here. But I'm going to tell you, it'd be a dark world if God ever withdrew his convicting power, if God ever withdrew his grace, if God ever withdrew the church, amen, where the gospel is being preached. I'll tell you, this would be a dark world. I don't care how light it would be with electricity or in the day. There'd be a spiritual darkness, an absence of God's presence. It's like God, help us here. It's like these parables emphasize the fact that they lived in light, but they rejected it and were sent to outer darkness. It was a place of suffering, fire and darkness, weeping and darkness, gnashing of teeth and darkness. Listen, if you live a dark life, you're going to have a dark eternity. Here's 2 Peter 2:10, it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. In verse 14 it says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart. Amen. They have exercised with covetousness cursed children. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Amen. You live a dark life, you go to a dark place. Amen. Jude 1:13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. God has a fit punishment for the crime. Amen. You know as well as I do, when it gets dark, sometimes you're afraid of things that you wouldn't normally be afraid of. Can you imagine the fear in that dark place called hell? In the night, the pain is worse. The sickness is worse. The affliction is worse. Can you imagine the attacks that people will experience in that dark hell? Amen. There's a feeling of loneliness and despair. Amen. Can I tell you, one of the most terrible things, for whatever reason, Jesus said that those people of the kingdom, the Jewish peoples who he's talking about, would see Abraham, they would see others sit down in the kingdom and them cast out. Great Lord. Amen. I think to myself, when Judas went to hell and was gnawing on his tongue for pain and regretting the fact that he had betrayed the innocent blood, he must have looked across the great gulf and saw Jesus walking through paradise with another fella. Amen. A thief on the cross. I'm just going to tell you, you can still escape the dark. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. Amen. It can happen right here tonight. Amen. I'm fixing to close, but I'm telling you, God's desire is for the light of the gospel to pierce your heart and you to be saved. I remember back a few years ago, number of years now, Brother Dominic Brano came and preached a message on a head start on hell. And I'll have to admit, I've heard Brother Dominic preach some very good messages. And he preached good that night, but not as good as he normally did. And when he was preaching, he said, I came to this service and I had two people on my heart. And there's two young people, he said, that need to really pray tonight. Amen. And when he said that, a young lady got up from the back seat and ran to the altar. And he bursted out in tears. And he said, you was the first one. And another young man came and prayed, and he said, you was the second one. I think that was on a Saturday night. We have Saturday night services most generally. On Sunday night, that young lady, I don't know what she was facing. As far as I knew, she was a good girl. But something was pulling her that night. Something she had to pray about. But anyway, on Sunday night, after she had prayed that Saturday night, she got to shouting And I'm telling you, her face glowed like an angel as she was a-shouting and praising God. And I hate to say this, but a week later, I got this call. Oh, God, a call nobody wants to have. A call so horrible that this young lady had died in a car accident. And they wanted me to go tell the parents that go to my church. And oh, I felt like an executioner going over to that house. Amen. And I broke them the news that, oh, the comfort of the fact, amen, that we knew where she was. Amen. She's just 19 years old, that's all. Amen. And it's a horrible thing. I'm so glad that she jumped out of her seat, ran to the altar, and was able to shout in the church service the next Sunday night. Amen. Because it was right then she had to make a move. It's sad to say, if I could say it this way, that other boy that came up there and prayed, he's still alive. That happened in 2000. But he's went from drugs to drugs. He's bound by, listen folks, God in his mercies kept him alive. But I'll tell you what, amen, God was trying to rescue him and keep him from the divorce courts and from the cocaine habit and the other problems that he's had. Hey, listen, I have no idea who God's trying to talk to here tonight, but there's a dark future and a bright future, amen, and it's in your hands. It's right there. It's your privilege tonight. What are you going to do with it? Hallelujah. We all stand. Please bow your heads in church. I hope you're praying with me. Amen. I'll tell you, I got a burden on my soul. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my Father. I've tried to preach and warn. I've tried to speak about the privilege of knowing about Jesus and the resurrection and the salvation that comes by being washed in the blood. Oh, Lord, would you get a hold of someone right here tonight? Bring them to this altar. Bring them to this place where they can find you in a special way. Oh, God, I know I cannot, no more than I could open up blinded eyes. But, oh, God, I pray by your Spirit you would move in this place and deliver somebody from that eternal darkness. Oh, God, move right now. Oh, God, help us right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I hope the churches are praying. Is there somebody who say, Brother Lloyd, I want to come and pray right now. Maybe the world's been pulling on you. I don't know. Or maybe you're a backslider or somebody that's never been saved. You say, I know all about the gospel. I know all about that. But I've never taken advantage of my privilege. But here tonight, I want to take advantage of it. Would you come to this altar right now? Amen. Would you come to this altar? I'm asking you. I'm asking you from my heart. The Lord would touch you. Church, would you raise your hand and ask God to make it easy for somebody to just take that first step and come on up here and pray through and get right with God? Come on, the church loves you. Come on, the church loves you. God the Father loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. Amen. It's our heart's desire to see you in this altar. Come on. For your eternal soul's sake, for your family's sake, amen, for your future's sake, would you come to this altar? Would you come and pray? Come on and seek the Lord. Come on and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a question in your mind. You say, I got to make it for sure. I don't want to have a question and leave here. Come on. Come on now. Come on, I want my wife to maybe sing a little bit of this. Oh, yes.
Don't let me
be lost for eternity. Would you come right now? Would you seek the Lord right now? Oh, glory be to Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be exalted. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Appreciate this young lady coming on right now. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else want to come? The Lord wants to give you an experience that's great here tonight. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Oh, yes. The Lord's still moving. Young man, young lady, come on. Don't take a chance on eternity. Don't take a chance on eternity. Is there anybody else that feels like they need to come and pray? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 How many say, I've got a burden for the lost here tonight? Would you raise your hand? Amen. I would like for you to come up here and pray that God would save the lost. Come up here and pray that God would save the lost. If you feel like asking somebody to walk up here with you, just give them that gentle, amen, invitation. Say, I'll walk up there. Would you walk up there with me? Come on. Hallelujah. God will save your soul. Let's all find a place to pray. Let's all ask God to move. Amen. Maybe the devil's been tempting you. But God can help you here this very night. Come on. Come on. Yes. The Lord loves you. Jesus cares about you. Come on. Come on. Ask God to help you. Ask God to forgive you.